From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, July 2nd. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Lirico. The U.S. has a housing problem, and some people think the solution could be manufactured homes.
They are high-quality and durable homes, and becoming more and more energy efficient. They will really surprise you.
The Midwest Newsroom's Holly Edgel reports on an affordable option for homebuyers and also asks if the new manufactured homes are safe. That's coming up on The Gateway. A Missouri congressman who represents the southeast part of the state wants to prevent states from placing children into foster care solely because of poverty. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Jason Smith's focus on the nation's child welfare system.
Smith's Ways and Means Committee has jurisdiction over federal money going to child welfare agencies like Missouri's Children's Division. He's backing legislation that would allow federal grants to go towards state efforts to relieve immediate housing or transportation concerns that may lead to neglect investigations. The bill also requires states to come up with policies stipulating that poverty can't be the sole reason to place kids in foster care.
There's a big difference between true neglect and poverty. They're not the same. They can get mixed in the same basket.
Smith, a Republican, is working on the legislation with Gwen Moore, a Democrat from Wisconsin. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis City SC head coach Bradley Carnell has been fired just 6 months after his contract was extended. He led City SC to the best record in the Western Conference last year in the MLS team's first year. The team has fallen short this season with a record of 3 wins, 10 draws, and 7 losses. City SC sporting director Lutz Pfannenstiel says the decision wasn't easy, but believes it was the right one to make to get the team to the playoffs.
In recent weeks, we did look flat. We did look not as sharp as we were last year. And that is the moment when you feel you have to make a change. And that's why we did it.
Technical director John Hackworth will now serve as the team's interim head coach as City SC searches for a replacement. Kanakuk is facing another civil lawsuit from a Colorado man who says he was sexually abused by one of its counselors. As Gregory Holman reports, Andrew Somerselt alleges the Branson-based Christian sports camp committed fraud and civil conspiracy by concealing the actions of a predatory counselor.
Several defendants were named in Somerset's lawsuit. Somerset says he attended Kanakuk from ages 7 to 18 and was sexually abused by Peter Newman, a former Kanakuk counselor. Somerset's lawsuit argues Kanakuk officials committed fraud because they didn't tell Somerset or his family about Newman's sexually abusing underage boys. The petition outlines longstanding allegations and court records indicating that Kanakuk officials received complaints about Newman as early as 1999, 2 years before Somerset says he was sexually abused by Newman. Since 2010, Newman has been serving 2 life sentences in Missouri prison, plus 30 years, on 8 felonies, including statutory sodomy and other crimes committed while working for Kanakuk. I'm Gregory Holman.
Bird flu has infected dairy cows in a dozen states since the first outbreak earlier this year. But testing for the virus is largely voluntary and varies state by state. Iowa has taken a more proactive approach. The state announced in early June that dairies within a 12-mile radius of infected poultry sites would need to be tested. Scott Polk is an extension veterinarian in Missouri. Although Missouri hasn't had any impacted dairy herds, he says he can understand why Iowa, a big poultry state, would want more bird flu testing.
I can see their concern. And when you look at the fact that, yes, this causes some trouble with cows, but in general, you don't have death in the cows where it can just wipe out a poultry farm.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture requires dairy herds to be tested if they're being transported across state lines. The USDA also has a voluntary testing program, which producers in Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, and New Mexico are enrolled in. The Biden administration wants the nation's house hunters to give manufactured homes a try because they're more affordable. Meanwhile, officials are close to updating construction codes to make the homes more climate resilient. But as Holly Edgel of the Midwest Newsroom reports, some housing experts say the new homes still pose safety issues during extreme weather events.
In early June, a new neighborhood appeared, seemingly overnight, on the National Mall in Washington. It was a temporary display of modern manufactured homes and part of the Housing and Urban Development Innovative Design Showcase. Here's Teresa Baker Payne in an interview with the Midwest Newsroom before the showcase. She leads HUD's manufactured housing program.
I encourage everybody, go see what these homes look like.
On the outside, many manufactured homes look like houses in any new subdivision. On the inside, you'll find features like granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. You'll also find energy-efficient heating and cooling systems to reduce the home's carbon footprint.
They are high-quality and durable homes, and becoming more and more energy efficient, they will really surprise you.
About 800 miles away, kids play at Terrace Heights in Dubuque, Iowa. It's a community that features what many people call trailers or mobile homes. The aging structures here are a far cry from those in the Washington Showcase.
You move into a trailer because you want lower rent. You want to be able to afford things. You know, I could never live out in a duplex or someplace because I couldn't afford that kind of rent.
Lynn Murphy lives in a Terrace Heights home that was built in 1978. There's no insulation, and her appliances are outdated.
My heat bills and my cooling bills are air conditioning is very high. Now my daughter lives around the corner. She has a newer trailer. Her heating and her electric is not as much as mine is.
In its latest report, Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing says lack of affordability is hitting both the for-sale and the for-rent housing markets. The report points to manufactured housing as a solution, calling it a well-established and affordable building technique with costs as low as 35% of an equivalent home built on a piece of property, what's known as a site-built home. But extreme weather events can still take their toll.
If a tornado would be coming into Dubuque, we would have to literally pack up, you know, your animals, get in a car, and go find someplace safe.
Nick Gromyko founded the International Association of Certified Home Inspectors, a leading training and certification program for the profession. He says manufactured homes are improving, but construction methods for site-built houses hold up better.
We still can't get around the fact that when you see a storm come through Florida, the stick-built homes still last better in the wind.
When tornadoes approach manufactured homes, regardless of what standards they're built to from what I've seen, it's just a complete failure.
That's Elena Sutley, a University of Kansas civil engineering professor who studies the effects of tornadoes on housing. When a tornado hits a manufactured home, she says it's
almost like an explosion where it's like the roof and the walls just completely kind of lose all integrity.
While the proposed updates to the HUD code could beef up requirements for materials and design to help with climate resilience, Mother Nature's forces continue to be a threat. The National Weather Service advises people who live in manufactured homes to identify a nearby shelter and go there when severe weather is on the way. So where does that leave homeowners like Murphy, who still lives in a 1970s mobile home? The city of Dubuque has applied for a HUD grant that would turn Terrace Heights into a community trust and pay to repair and retrofit the village.
I mean, I'm thrilled about learning this.
Dubuque will learn if it gets its HUD grant later this year. With contributor Colson Thayer, I'm Holly Edgel for the Midwest Newsroom.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration between NPR and public radio stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.